are joined by Dr. Keith Glitter, and I only recently found out that Dr. Keith Glitter has been appointed as the new head of department in the Western Cape. Before, it used to be Dr. Beth Engelbrecht. So, Dr. Keith Glitter, thank you very much, the DG of Health in the Western Cape. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kino. Good morning to your listeners.
And congratulations, man. We didn't get a chance to congratulate you for
Thank you so much.
All right, so let's first start with the important things, although fake news is also important and we need to squash that. But you started your testing on Saturday, and this is obviously COVID-19 testing. It's part of what the president has called for, testing in communities. How did that go? So let's start off at a high level. How did that all go this weekend?
We had a very positive experience on Saturday in a place called Happy Valley. It is an informal settlement next to Blackheath, and also in Elita Park in Khayelitsha. More than 1,400 people were screened, and up to 45 samples of testing was taken and sent to the laboratory. But there was a very good cooperation of community health workers, very professionally done. Communities participated, all participated well, and it all went off very well, with very positive feedback from everyone.
Okay, so that's the screening. This now needs to go off to the laboratories. It needs to be tested, and then we'll find out whether people are COVID-19 positive or negative, right?
Yeah, we're getting some of the results back as of this morning. So of that 45 tests, by late this morning, we'll know how many of those were positive and how many were negative.
So now what happens, Doctor? And I saw that you have a field hospital out at Tigerberg Hospital, and Dr. Norma French and Bombo did a whole trip around it. She posted videos on it. What happens when people test positive, especially in high-density areas? Will they be removed from their homes and quarantined?
So the first assessment is every case that is positive, we have a contact tracing team. They contact the person. They assist the person to understand who were they in close contact with. So if you're positive, you need to isolate. If you were a close contact of somebody that is positive, you need to quarantine. Now, you can imagine in a very dense, depopulated area, we are treading into new ground now. And we're going to have to understand, is it possible to isolate? And is it possible to quarantine in those situations?
We, in all likelihood, are
going to have to provide people with options that cannot do that to move them to designated quarantine and isolation facilities. We have quite a few spaces in designated places that's been prepared, and we are able to move people if we come across people that needs to be in designated quarantine and isolation facilities.
Okay, because just driving on the N7 past Dunoon yesterday, I saw around 100 people, maybe a little more, sitting on the side of the road while football was being played. And it was a question I asked, can we expect WHO regulations to be foisted on people who are maybe spending eight in a shack, 30 degrees outside, etc.? Can we really expect them to self-isolate? So that is the first question, right? Even if you tell someone self-isolate, that's fine when you're living in the burbs. You can sit in your garden, and you can do whatever you want, and, you know, and it's fine. But when you're in dense areas, places like Mitchell's Plain, for example, I know the police have been saying that in Mitchell's Plain, in town centre, they've had their hands full. It's almost untenable. You can't ask people to self-isolate. That's the one thing, because people just aren't listening, number one. Number two, people also get victimized. We've read the story, and if it's accurate or not, I mean, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the lady who tested positive for COVID-19 in Khayelitsha is now too scared to go back. So there are those social dynamics that one has to look at. So how many facilities do you have that are up and running and ready, excluding your hospitals?
We have, obviously, I can tell you that we have many. And I can tell you that we have over 900 beds, or let's call it slots, in those places. We obviously will not tell you where they are, and we will be mindful of identifying specifically where they are. But we have up to 900 slots potentially of moving people into those places. Okay. And as we speak, we are continually adding onto places like that. You are right. We obviously will then offer the person a isolation facility or quarantine facility based on their local circumstances. We expect that to increase this week as more positive cases comes out of the screening and testing drive. We have got two instances where if somebody has served their 14 days of isolation or their first 14 days of quarantine, which for all intents and purposes, if you were doing it in your home in the suburbs, you were ready to be released out of isolation.
Mm.
The big issue here is reintegration.
Mm.
And it's got to do with community education. It's got to do with us facilitating that, because the challenge of reintegration is going to be a big one, having taken people into isolation and quarantine facilities. So that's something that our social development guys are working with us. It's small cases at this point in time, but it is expected to become bigger in the weeks ahead.
Okay. Now, we are chatting, by the way. You're going to be wrapping up with Dr. Keith Luter, the DG of Health, Department of Health in the Western Cape. We've got one question here from John in Cape Town. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. What is your question, John?
I'd just like to know, I'm in my own house here, if people should come around and want to test me, can I refuse?
Dr. Keith Luter.
The funny people is coming around.
Okay. Yeah.
So firstly, I would like to say to John, when people come around, they will be pretty official. You won't be able to miss. It won't be some loner coming and somebody knocking on the door. People will have very clear identification with him, and there will be a group of people. So it's a very official thing. We are encouraging everyone to say, we are asking you questions. So the first thing is the screening is asking you questions, whether you have symptoms. And if out of the symptoms we then propose to you, you might want to be tested. Nobody is forced. Everybody's got an option. But what I would like to say is the message is, if you do have symptoms and we're offering a test, we would like to encourage everybody to be tested, because you can put yourself at risk and you can put the rest of the community at risk if you decide not to test.
Okay. So, John, it's in your best interest and everybody else's. And a quick one from Brian in Hermanus. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, morning, Kino. DG, there is a lead time between conducting the test and achieving the result. People who are found positive will, of course, have gone back into the community during that window. And secondly, if you get a high incidence of positives, by that I'm talking 40% plus, what are you going to do with all the people that are positive? Can't quarantine them all.
Yep. So that's a very good question. It's early days, and the numbers we're talking about is not close to the 40% that you're quoting. And that's why it's even important to go now and do it in this way. The lead time is 24 hours. We take a sample, we send it to the laboratory, we get the result 24 hours later. And as I say, at this point in time, the numbers we like to get are small and manageable numbers at this point where we find ourselves. That's why it's important we do it now. We don't do it 2 weeks from now, because that's how quickly the virus spreads.
Well, some of the most developed nations ran into problems because they didn't do it as effectively as we have. So just on this one, Stephen D. Birch, and it's there are lots of Stephen Birches out there, so I just need to be very careful here. If you go to this particular Facebook page, you'll see he wears spectacles. He's got a red hat, which has Trump on it, which is his thing, right? And then there's also a picture behind his photograph which says, "Why don't you dig up the driver?" which speaks to him previously having said that he'd found the remains of Maddie. And he's posted this video, which is rather infuriating, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to engage him. I wouldn't encourage any. Don't do anything about this particular man, actually. Don't even engage him. The authorities are going to do that. But I just needed to describe the actual Facebook page, because there could be many Stephen Birches out there. He's been putting this thing with what looks like an earbud up his nose, saying that government's going to come for COVID-19 testing, as you were saying, started on Saturday, and he says they're going to stick this thing up your nose. And he then says, oh, no, it is contaminated with COVID-19. What is the department's response to that?
We treat the fake news with the contempt it deserves. You're absolutely right, Kino. We should not be propagating. The first thing we ask everybody is, when you get something like this, do not spread it. It adds to panic. It adds to fear.
Yeah.
We have put out a very clear statement that it is complete rubbish in that statement. And as you say, he needs to be dealt with the authorities. There are regulations that will deal with behavior like that.
Yeah.
So we can unemphatically tell people the test is of high quality. It gets opened in front of you. It's sealed. It gets sealed in a container, double bagged, put into courier service off to the laboratory with the highest quality of result that you will receive within 24 hours.
Okay. Now, by the way, just a quick one here. There's an interesting story that I heard of. Some of the TB kits have been, because there are lots of TB kits because of our proliferation of TB in sub-Saharan Africa and South Africa in particular. Have some of these TB kits also been engineered to be able to do COVID-19 testing?
The issue you're talking about, it's called the Gene Expert Machine.
Ah.
It's the same methodology we could use. We use the Gene Expert Machine now for doing and testing TB. We will use that methodology when the kits arrive that is appropriate for COVID to use that same machines. We expect that to be in 2 to 3 weeks' time.
Okay, so we're looking forward to finding out more about that. But Dr. Keith Klutzer, thank you for your time, the DG of Health in the Western Cape.